47. Caleb. Caleb followed Sheriff Duke, Max, General Stacker, and Pyro into the cavern leading to the generation ship Pilgrim, still buried beneath the Earth over 200 years after it was supposed to have fled the planet. The ride from Sanisco to the site, somewhere in the middle of the desert, probably not far from Death Valley, had thankfully been uneventful. They hadn't encountered a soul while traveling through the stretch of desert, though the reasons behind that lack of interaction were anything but pleasant. As Sheriff Duke explained it, Sharath had done his share of damage not too long ago, which had thinned out an already thin population south of Sanisco. In addition, the signs of passing Jaxcluth were spread across the roads and towns leading into the former larger cities, their hardened black ichor creating veins across the landscape. The Parabellum had spotted the aliens from the air, tracking them as they headed northeast in search of something to kill. The ride had also been unmercifully long. While Sheriff Duke had done his best to keep the convoy moving full time, every break wound up taking nearly twice the amount of time he'd planned to be stopped. The civilians were slow to both depart and rejoin the caravan. It was hard work for the Centurions to protect them during stoppages as they tended to range further from the vehicles than was safe, usually seeking somewhere private to relieve themselves. But they had made it, 3 hours later than planned, but with everyone alive and accounted for.
If miracles were real, this might be one.
It was a minor miracle the convoy had arrived at their destination without losing anyone, without conflict, and without any of the refurbished centuries-old vehicles breaking down. The last point was a testament to the work Natalia and her engineers had done rebuilding the transportation.
"We'll need to get a ladder or something installed here," Hayden said, motioning to the lift shaft.
The lift was resting at the bottom, the lines connecting it to the machinery cut.
"I think we can repair the lift," Pyro said. "Get it working again."
"How long?" Hayden asked.
"A few hours."
"Not unless you're staying behind."
Pyro stared at the shaft.
"It's going to be difficult to get the equipment we brought down a ladder."
"We need you to fly the Parabellum," Stacker said.
"No, you don't," Pyro countered. "Ike's got a handle on it. You saw how he landed this time."
"That wasn't Otto?"
Pyro smiled.
"No, he did that himself."
Stacker was silent for a moment, considering.
"What do you think, Colonel?" he asked, looking at Caleb.
"About leaving Pyro behind?" Caleb replied. "The area of greatest need for the civilians are engineers to prepare the settlement. We have multiple capable pilots, but only one craft to fly."
"So you're in favor?"
"Affirmative."
Stacker nodded.
"Okay, go back to the caravan and find Lutz. Tell him what you need."
"Yes, General," Pyro said.
She slipped past Caleb and hurried away.
"We should go down," Hayden said. "Make sure the area's clear."
"This place looks like it's been abandoned for years, Sheriff," Caleb said. "That's what I thought last time I was here, right before I ran into a pair of shields."
"Shields?"
"Centurion bots," Stacker said.
"Why were they here?"
"Protecting the portal."
"I've got a climb wire,"
Stacker said, grabbing the thin line from a pocket of his utilities. He wasn't wearing his armor at the moment, not that it made him any less imposing. Caleb still hadn't decided who was bigger, the General or John Washington. He took a moment while Stacker was setting up the wire to wonder how Washington and the Deliverance were going back on Essex. He missed his fellow vulture, but their paths had diverged and there was nothing he could do about that. At least for the moment. Sheriff Duke went down the wire first, letting go of it a few meters off the ground. He landed smoothly, pivoting and drawing his revolvers while using his glasses to provide low-light vision of the cavern. Max followed behind him, not even bothering with the rope. Caleb went next, pulling the cowl of his Axon skin over his head, the material giving him sight in the dark. The cavern was massive, way too big to see from back to front, even with enhanced sight. His eyes tracked upward to the silhouette shape of the Pilgrim, the outline all too familiar. 19 of these ships were built to carry humankind away from Earth, and all of them looked the same. The Pilgrim was a clone of the Deliverance, or maybe it was the other way around. Long and generally rectangular in shape,
The Pilgrim had a set of wider extensions forward and aft, and a large lifting sled beneath it. At some point, the mountain had collapsed on it, partially submerging it in dirt and rocks. What he could see of it was dirty, rusted, and dented in places. Caleb was confident he could navigate the inside of it with his eyes closed.
"Why didn't she ever lift off?" he asked. "The cave-in?"
"No. Trife," Hayden replied, as though the short answer was all Caleb needed to understand why it was still sitting where it had been built. In a way, it was enough.
"The Deliverance had a similar problem. If I had been on board the Pilgrim instead, you would have made it."
Sheriff Duke looked over at him with a smirk.
"I don't doubt that."
He was quiet for a minute as he looked the ship over.
"We'll head up into her and get the batteries charged." "You've been here before, General?" Caleb asked.
"Once," Stacker replied.
"It wasn't my favorite experience."
Caleb looked away. It was obvious Stacker didn't want to talk about it.
"Do you have the lifts installed in the landers?" Caleb asked.
"What lifts?" Sheriff Duke replied.
"No. The sled has stairs we can take to the hangar. There's better access from the upper bridge, but the shorter shaft wasn't excavated."
He motioned to a bridge crossing a gap between the side of the cavern and the starship.
"Will charging the batteries make the ship operational?" Max asked.
"It should," Hayden said. "We didn't pull a lot of the critical equipment off her. Mainly the filtration systems Pyro had us carry back. They're the reason for the tight fit on the convoy vehicles. Power systems should come right up. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if the thrusters still fired. They've never been used."
"I guess if things don't work out, you can always head for Proxima," Caleb said.
"I doubt those kilos of rock on top of her would agree with you, Colonel,"
Stacker replied with half a grin.
"Besides, I'm a wanted man on Proxima."
"Or maybe not," Caleb chuckled. Staying in the lead, Hayden tuned them out. He kept one of his revolvers out and ready as he crossed beneath the back of the starship. Following him, Caleb looked up as he went beneath the ship, his eyes tracking along the four massive thrusters that could accelerate the vessel to half the speed of light. They looked like they were in good condition.
"There's no value in launching a weaponless starship against a Relia warship, Caleb."
Caleb couldn't argue the point with Eshek, but he also didn't want to eliminate or waste any potential assets, regardless of how worthless they might seem. They climbed the sled's rusted metal stairs up to the enormous main hangar, the outer blast doors hanging partially open. The sight of it brought back a lot of memories for Caleb. Not all of them good.
"It seems all of you humans have demons in relation to your ships."
Caleb stared at the darkness behind the blast doors. He never expected to confront his again in quite this way. He followed Hayden into the dark space, his cowl allowing him to see well enough to navigate. The large hangar wasn't completely empty. The remains of a trife nest sat decaying toward the front, while vehicles rested cold and lifeless near the back. A huge hole in the ceiling revealed another space above. A marine module, if it was similar to the Deliverance.
"I haven't been back inside in a while," Hayden said softly. "It's hard to be here without Nat."
"You can wait outside if you want, Sheriff," Caleb said. "I know the layout. It looks the same as my ship. I can take Max to the batteries."
Sheriff Duke rubbed his chin, clearly tempted by the offer. Then he shook his head.
"No, I've got to face down these demons. Nat wouldn't want this to own me. And I don't want that either."
He kept going, through the stern passage, out of the hangar, and through dirty, barren corridors toward the rear of the ship. Caleb traced the outline of the passages in his mind, finding the layout nearly as identical as he had suspected. It took 10 minutes to get to the deck below the main power interchange and supercapacitors, where the ship's primary transformer rested. Caleb had been in the machine room on the Deliverance, so he knew what he would see when they arrived. The primary transformer was a massive square metal box in the center of the floor. It reminded Caleb of a Jaxcluth because it had dozens of thick wires protruding from it like tentacles, a few spreading across the floor and into the walls, while the majority reached out to transfer power to and from hundreds of capacitors arranged in a circular order around it.
The solid-state batteries were tall silver boxes, and Caleb remembered how Carol, the Deliverance's engineer, had referred to them as their own personal Stonehenge. One of these cables had been spliced and separated, one half of the end wrapped haphazardly around the Axon modulator. The alien device had spent the last few minutes glowing softly, but the light had faded as the batteries were charged and the energy unit's output diminished.
"Power levels at 100%, Sheriff," Max said, beginning to unhook the wires from the device.
Sheriff Duke retreated to a nearby engineering station and activated one of the terminals. 30 seconds later, the Eagle and Star logo appeared above a password field. Sheriff Duke typed confidently into the field and hit enter. "Welcome, admin." The sheriff looked over at Caleb.
"Do you know how to work this thing?"
"You look like you do," Caleb replied.
"Neg, I know the master code, that's about it. Nat always made the system adjustments."
Caleb walked over to the terminal.
"I know enough about them to be dangerous. We only need the power to Metro activated right now, and maybe make sure we can close the hangar doors once everyone's inside, seal the ship off again."
Caleb tapped on the control pad, bringing up different menus on the terminal. He was surprised to find Sheriff Duke had enabled complete access to all of the ship's functions from the engineering terminal. Most of those were supposed to be limited to the bridge, or at least it had been that way on the Deliverance. He found the energy conduits leading to the main cargo hold and started activating them.
"Metro should have power now, Sheriff," Caleb said over the soft hum that followed. "I can show Pyro how to work the systems. That way she can close everything up when she's ready."
"Much obliged, Colonel," Sheriff Duke replied.
"Let's see if we can pick up some time getting the people situated. We're way behind schedule, and I really want to be in Seattle when Craig arrives."
"Me too, Sheriff," Caleb said.
"Me too."